Exalt, let them exalt the host of heaven. Exalt, let angel ministers of God exalt. Let the trumpet of salvation sound aloud a mighty King's triumph. Be glad, let earth be glad, as glory floods her, ablaze with light from her eternal King. Let all corners of the earth be glad, knowing an end to gloom and darkness. Rejoice, let Mother Church also rejoice, arrayed with the lightning of his glory. Let this holy building shake with joy, filled with the mighty voices of the peoples. Therefore, dearest friends, standing in the awesome glory of this holy light, invoke with me, I ask you, the mercy of God Almighty, that he who has been pleased to number me, though unworthy, among the Levites, may pour into me his light unshadowed, that I may sing this candle's perfect praises. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up
to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, with ardent love of mind and heart, and with devoted service of our voice, to acclaim our God invisible, the Almighty Father, and Jesus Christ our Lord, his Son, his only begotten, who for our sake paid Adam's debt to the eternal Father, and pouring out his own dear blood, wiped clean the record of our ancient sinfulness. These then are the feast of Passover, in which is slain the Lamb, the one true Lamb, whose blood anoints the doorposts of believers. This is the night when once you led our forebears, Israel's children, from slavery in Egypt, and made them pass dry shod through the Red Sea. This is the night that with a pillar of fire banished the darkness of sin. This is the night that even now throughout the world sets Christian believers apart from worldly vices and from the gloom of sin, leading them to grace and joining them to his holy ones, This is the night when Christ broke the prison bars of death and rose victorious from the underworld. Our birth would have been no gain had we not been redeemed. Oh, wonder of your humble care for us, oh, love, oh, charity beyond all telling, to ransom a slave, you gave away your son. Oh, truly necessary sin of Adam, destroyed completely by the death of Christ. Oh, happy fault that earned so great, so glorious a Redeemer. Oh, truly blessed night, worthy alone to know the time and hour when Christ rose from the underworld. This is the night of which it is written, the night shall be as bright as day. Dazzling is the night for me and full of gladness. The sanctifying power of this night dispels wickedness, washes faults away, restores innocence to the fallen, and joy to mourners, drives out hatred, fosters concord, and brings down the mighty. On this, your night of grace, O Holy Father, accept this candle, a solemn offering, the work of bees and of all your servants' hands, an evening sacrifice of praise, this gift from your most holy church. But now we know the praises of this pillar, which glowing fire ignites for God's honor. A fire into many flames, divided yet never dimmed, by sharing of its light, for it is fed by melting wax, drawn out by mother bees, to build a torch so precious. Oh, truly blessed night, when things of heaven are wed to those of earth, and divine to the human. Therefore, O Lord, we pray you that this candle, hallowed to the honor of your name, may persevere undimmed to overcome the darkness of this night. Receive it as a pleasing fragrance and let it mingle with the lights of heaven. May this flame be found still burning by the morning star, the one morning star who never sets, Christ your Son, who coming back from death's domain has shed his peaceful light on humanity and lives and reigns forever and ever.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, are you unaware that we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were indeed buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live in newness of life. For if we have grown into union with him through a death like his, we shall also be united with him in the resurrection. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that our sinful body might be done away with, that we might no longer be in slavery to sin. For a dead person has been absolved from sin. If then we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We know that Christ, raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has power over him. As to his death, he died to sin once and for all. As to his life, he lives for God. Consequently, you too must think of yourselves as being dead to sin and living for God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory
to you, O Lord. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. Very early, when the sun had risen, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb. They were saying to one another, Who will roll back the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? When they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. On entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a white robe, and they were utterly amazed. He said to them, "Do not be afraid. Do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter, he is going to Galilee before you. There you will see him as he told you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Before formally breaking open the Gospel of the Resurrection according to Mark's presentation, I'd like us to contemplate a question relative to this sacred triduum, this holy triduum, these 3 days that we have been experiencing, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and now Holy Saturday. What is Jesus doing right now? See, we have to remember that God is outside of time. So everything is eternally in the present moment for God. The past, the present, the future, everything is before the Lord at all times in eternity in a moment. So that's a lot to wrap our heads around, but that's really the case. So right now, what is Jesus doing? We know he was put to death on the cross yesterday. His body was taken down and placed in a tomb. When his soul separated from his body, where did he go? In the Nicene Creed that we express every first day of the week, every Sunday, we say Christ descended into hell, or the Apostles' Creed. And a lot of people wonder, what does that mean? Did he go to the realm of the damned? No. He went to what the Jews, the Hebrew people, called Sheol, or the Greeks referred to as Hades. It was like a holding cell, if you will, because heaven was closed off. Paradise was certainly, it was for the Jews, it would have been paradise, but not heaven. It required a Savior. It required the Redeemer for heaven to be open. And so we hear in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 632 and following, the frequent New Testament affirmations that Jesus was raised from the dead presupposed that the crucified one sojourned in the realm of the dead prior to his resurrection. This was the first meaning given in the apostolic preaching to Christ's descent into hell, that Jesus, like all men, experienced death and in his soul joined the others in the realm of the dead. But his descendants there as Savior, but he descended there as Savior, proclaiming the good news to the spirits imprisoned there. Scripture calls the abode of the dead, to which the dead Christ went down, hell, quote-unquote, Sheol in Hebrew or Hades in Greek, because those who are there are deprived of the vision of God. Such is the case for all the dead, whether evil or righteous, while they await the Redeemer, which does not mean that their lot is identical, as Jesus shows through the parable of the poor man Lazarus, who was received into Abraham's bosom. It is precisely these holy souls who awaited their Savior in Abraham's bosom, whom Christ the Lord delivered,
when he descended into hell. Jesus did not descend into hell to deliver the damned, nor to destroy the hell of damnation, but to free the just who had gone before him. Continuing in the Catechism, paragraph 634, the gospel was preached even to the dead. St. Peter says this in his first epistle, chapter 4, verse 6. The gospel was preached even to the dead. The descent into hell brings the gospel message of salvation to complete fulfillment. This is the last phase of Jesus' messianic mission, a phase which is condensed in time but vast in its real significance. The spread of Christ's redemptive work to all men of all times and all places, for all who are saved have been made sharers in the redemption. Christ went down into the depths of death so that the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Jesus, the author of life, by dying destroyed him who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and delivered all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. Henceforth, the risen Christ holds the keys of death and Hades, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And it concludes with a paragraph from an ancient homily, which the author of which is anonymous to us, but it's read in the Liturgy of the Hours, the divine office of all consecrated souls, consecrated priests, religious, deacons, and even the laity have access to the Liturgy of the Hours if they so choose. Every year, this is the office of reading on this, the Holy Saturday, the Vigil of Easter. Today, a great silence reigns on earth, a great silence and a great stillness, a great silence because the King is asleep. The earth trembled and is still because God has fallen asleep in the flesh, and he has raised up all who have slept ever since the world began. He has gone to search for Adam, our first father, as for a lost sheep, greatly desiring to visit those who live in darkness and in the shadow of death. He has gone to free from sorrow Adam in his bonds and Eve captive with him. He who is both their God and the son of Eve, I am your God, who for your sake have become your son. I order you, O sleeper, to awake. I did not create you to be a prisoner in hell. Rise from the dead, for I am the life of the dead. And so now, whenever we refer or hear that phrase in our creed, the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed, although the Nicene Creed it just doesn't even mention that he descended into hell or to the dead. It simply says he ascended, he rose from the dead on the third day. But let us attend to today's gospel, because we had the opportunity to actually read seven readings. Seven. We had four out of the seven this evening. But why is that? The church wants us, God wants us to realize that his Savior that he sent to redeem the entire world, past, present, and future, is the Lord of all times, all history. If you were listening to how we bless the Paschal candle, it captures everything. Nothing is left unattended to by the only Son of God, the eternal Word of God sent forth by the Father. And so all of the readings that we read confirm that. The world was created on the first day. All of creation happened on the first day, which is for the Jews, Sunday is the first day of the week. And as we know, Jesus rose on the first day. And this is where the gospel brings it forth for us. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him very early when the sun had risen on the first day of the week. They came to the tomb. Now, when they arrived at the tomb, they were astonished. In fact, as the person dressed in white, a white robe, he says to them, "Do not be amazed. Do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified. He has been raised. He is not here." Perhaps that in itself is kind of what? Don't be amazed. How can you not be amazed? Who goes to a tomb, especially the way they sealed the tombs then with a big stone rolled, looking for it to be open? And not only open, but empty. The body of Jesus was not there. Perhaps we ourselves may be amazed. We can identify with Mary Magdalene and the other women, Salome and so forth. But should we be amazed? Remember, our God is the God of consistency, particularly in relationship to those whom he loves. To those whom he loves, he believes in giving second chances. To those whom he loves, he believes in bringing life out of death. Today, we have cause for celebration. We have cause for joy, because the greatest enemy of the entire human race has been put down in the light of this, the greatest of all miracles that the Father has realized. He has raised his Son, Jesus, from the dead before the end of the world to let us know that for him, nothing is impossible. And as regards Jesus descending into the dead, into the realm of Hades or Sheol, that's to confirm for us he's willing to go to any lengths. Nothing is beyond him, particularly when it comes to reestablishing the relationship he desired from the beginning. And so we may wonder, what is the message for us? This mysterious man, this young man in the tomb, is clothed in white, which means he was of a heavenly origin. He declares to them and he declares to us, do not be amazed. He's the first one to testify to the women who become the first witnesses of the scene. They obviously didn't keep it to themselves, otherwise we wouldn't be reading about it in this gospel. They went and told what they perceived and saw and experienced. Who has proclaimed a gospel to us recently? Where have we received good news? And we also note that they didn't have time to sit on their laurels and enjoy the awe and wonder that they were beholding in this moment. Not at all. They had to go. They were given specific instructions. Go and tell his brothers that he will see them in Galilee. Go and tell them. What might the mission of our Lord be for us? Who too? We too now. We have come. As we started off in the darkness that gave way to the light, we have entered yet again into the tomb, in which there is nothing other than the trappings that once adorned the body of our blessed Lord. How might you and I be called to go forth and proclaim this message, this gospel, which is for all the world? We are commissioned. We have been claimed by Christ. We are going to witness in just a couple of moments three people with whom we have journeyed this past Lent. We're going to witness these three people being born again of water and spirit. And perhaps we're puzzling at why was it that the writing from Exodus, where the Hebrew children were going through the Red Sea, why was that chosen on the solemnity of a celebration of the Pasch, of the Easter feast? We should think we would hear about how they prepared the Passover. But no, the church provides us with imagery that speaks of going through the waters. St. Paul, in his first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 1 and following, says, "The children of Israel passed through the waters under the cloud, and as such were baptized into Moses." Now we, who are the children of the promise, we are baptized into the waters under the cloud, symbolizing the Holy Spirit, into Christ. And it's not just to be cleansed of the stain of original sin, but it's also to sacramentally participate in his death as well as his resurrection. We're going to witness the fruits of that one perfect sacrifice tonight. When Jesus descended into the realm of the dead to proclaim the gospel, completing his messianic mission. Hence, every knee will bend in heaven, on earth, and under the earth at the name of Jesus the Christ. For he is the one who has conquered death and brought the gospel to the light and to the life of the redeemed, for the glory of God the Father and the salvation of souls. God love you.